You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hockey fans, if you'd like a copy of my new book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to flankerpress.com. If you'd like a personalized copy for $25 plus shipping, email me at terryryan2020@gmail.com. That's terryryan2020@gmail.com. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, welcome to episode 108B of Tales with TR. I'm your host, Terry Ryan Jr. today by none other than Terry Ryan Sr. Sr., give yourself a hello.
Yo to everybody. It's been a while.
It has been a while. No big intro today. This was last minute, Senior. You know why? Because Jason Strudwick dropped out. So that's why. We got you on here because we had to have you. No, I'm just kidding. Back by popular demand. And we used to have a, we were doing some stuff live on Instagram and on YouTube, guys. And people asked me about it. And I just don't have the time. I've been real, real busy. With a lot of things the last couple of weeks back here. It's been Hudson and Rex, and I started to do cameos for those out there that you want a birthday greeting or a bachelor party shout out or whatever it might be. You know how it works, and really just working on some upcoming things that I have going on. Senior, did I tell you I'm going to Rapid City, 20 minutes from Mount Rushmore?
Rapid City, Iowa, isn't
it? South Dakota. Scotty Burt coaches there. He just went down and hooked me up. So they're fans of Shorzy, and so I'm going to tell some stories.
Rushmore. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that.
About 70,000 people, Rapid City, it's called, South Dakota. And I'm going to go down for 2 or 3 days. Not only that, Senior, I'm going. So Ryan Anderson heard about it, Skinny Anderson down in Austin, and he's got me going to Austin.
Oh, my Lord.
Same sort of thing. I got to organize a ball.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to do a live podcast, I think. I'm going to do public speaking, stuff like that. And then
say hi to Skinny.
Sun Valley, Idaho called as well. A guy, Sean O'Grady, used to hang out with Mike Matt. Remember, he used to hang out. Played some senior hockey and everything here. Like back in the day when you coached, we used to go down to Trinity Pub. It was Dave Manning's buddy.
Yeah. Sun Valley. Where does that tie in?
Because I guess he must be living down. He left here to go to
San
Diego.
That's not a cheap place to live.
No, we were there, remember?
Schwarzenegger and Hanks, they all got places there.
But I know Marty Flickle lives out there. I'm only looking like on senior. I only know of this because I follow the Steelheads and I forget a lot of it, but Sun Valley has like a senior hockey team out there that a lot of the pro guys. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. If anybody's
absolutely gorgeous spot
from that area, I don't know what league it is. I don't know what, but I paid because after I played there, Marty Flickle went. He's like numbers retired. He played. Remember that guy from Tacoma?
Flickle? Yeah, he did. I remember him.
Just, yeah. You know, and almost, I don't want to, again, Marty, he was like Brent Ashcroft. Like he played, he'd fight if he had to. He played, it was the Western League, so he did it. But if there was no, he would have been better off if there was no like holdups, if there was no fighting, you know, he was just a real, real quick guy with wicked hands, probably would have been more successful now, but found himself. And he did play pro for a while in many places, but found himself there in Idaho. And if you were in your late 20s or I often say like one of the best places I've ever played, perfect size rink, perfect size town. They love you. There's lots to do. And Sun Valley is just a little excursion away. And Senior, tell us about the grave that we visited up there.
Sun Valley, Idaho. Well, I did a wherever we go or wherever we've gone, I've done always done historical research, being an historian, and I found out that Ernest Hemingway, that's where he's buried.
We went up on
we were there in the winter, and the story is, and this is fortuitous as you could get. I remember, number one, I was surprised that we were coming into it. There was no big sign up, Ernest Hemingway's grave, out in the West, watching the Wild Wild West, the Doc Holliday, signs everywhere. And I remember going to a travel agent and I said, excuse me, it says here that
Sun Valley
Ernest Hemingway is buried here. Oh, he said, yeah, he's down there. There's a little graveyard, about 50 people in it, and he's buried close to the tree. I said, oh, okay.
We all went down there.
So sure enough,
fucking senior, it was 4 feet of snow.
There was. Well, I remember having this to was climb like looking over, out into a, yeah. over the embankment to get in anywhere. There. And on top of that, I was looking for a headstone that's upright.
Yeah.
So I'm going
I'll
around.
Never forget it, man.
I can't find it. I see the tree. I go over. I can't. He said it's by the tree. I can't. But once again, I'm assuming it's upright. I remember because I got the picture home. I took it and put it on the wall. And I was standing on something smooth. And I started kicking the snow away.
I remember.
And lo and behold, it was Ernest Hemingway.
Now, for
I couldn't believe
for
it.
For people that don't know. So we went, what the gig was, I was playing in Idaho. That was actually the year that I had my career ender. It was so bittersweet. I loved playing there, but I'd hurt my ankle in Dallas, and I went to Boise to see if I, and I kept playing too early. And it was a really fun year off the ice, but I was going through a lot of injuries. So anyway, figured let's make the most of it here. Like I'm in Idaho, like it could be worse. I'm getting paid anyway to be here. And part of the deal was with the Steelheads that my parents came down. There's a few perks that they threw in or I had flights. So I was like, my mom and dad wanted to come down. So we figured that out, but you guys came down in Sun Valley. I don't know. I'm guessing an hour. It could be a little bit longer, but it's outside of Boise. But at the time there was a big, Demi Moore and Bruce Willis had moved there. First of all,
they just bought a town.
Yeah.
I think it's called Haley right outside of
Sun Valley. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
And,
guy that pointed out, said, see that place over there? That's where
Bruce Willis and Demi Moore lives. Yeah. The house they had on Big Ranch.
And there was people moving there. So like the Idaho Steelheads, we had a wicked rink, like, and not huge, like maybe 4,500 or 5,000, but it was attached to a hotel. It was
one of the more creative rinks, I tell you.
America Center. And then
just beautiful.
There was a restaurant up in the top.
The whole
level.
Backdrop. Yeah.
And, yeah. And the back part of the restaurant, if it was nice, it kind of came up and it looked out over into the real cool little downtown area.
Yeah.
And there was no pro teams within, like Salt Lake City was the closest. And again, that's minor league. There was nothing within hundreds of miles in any direction. So there would be, you know, I remember Dustin Hoffman coming to a game, Paul Revere, the 60s musician. He was a season ticket holder. Bill Buckner, the famous Boston Red Sox for all the wrong reasons, really, because he was a Hall of Famer as well. He lived there. He golfed with us sometimes. So it was a really unique spot. And Sun Valley was like where all these celebrities were moving. So I remember both of us saying we might as well head up there and check it out. And we took Mom, and I think Scotty Burt might even have come up, or maybe he did with me after.
Stallone, they all, because you know how friendly I am. I get to talk to the locals because I want to find out. Oh, he said, this guy was a carpenter. He said, I just built a house for Sylvester Stallone out on some lake, whatever. Schwarzenegger, Tom Hanks, big directors, they're all here. He said, you see him in the summer? And he said, just normal guys, you know. He said, the populace is just, well, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, no big deal. I remember that. And I remember going in. And Sun Valley itself is like the tie-ins. Like when we say like we went talk to a travel agent, this was walking up like one little strip. It's a tiny place, tiny.
Yeah, yeah, very tiny.
So and when we went there, we're like, we want to go to this famous bar that Ernest Hemingway, he's a famous drinker, and he used to go in and write.
The last one that he was at, actually, before he
So we went in and because he hung out there, but like
big log, server log.
We were going into Sun Valley thinking that we'd have to like ask people directions. And, but I mean, there was only so many bars there. Like it was a little strip. It was like almost a Wild West town.
Yeah.
Almost like that. So there was only one strip that the bar could have been on. And sure enough, we walked into like the third place and it was, there's a little plaque over there, the last place that he sat. And then that's when they told us we went out and I remember because you asked about the grave. So picture this, we go out and it's like 4 feet of snow is for sure. And it's off. Like, I don't know. It's probably, it's a small town, that one little strip, but it's way off the road.
So yeah. It was off the main drag looks like for hills, sure. Right? Yeah.
It doesn't like this graveyard. It's not like you walk in and it's gated and it's like,
heated. No, it was just a graveyard, an old graveyard.
You wouldn't even have known.
With like 50 people, graveyard. 50 people. That's it.
And it was the headstones weren't upright here. They go back hundreds of years and they're all straight up.
They're so all like, straight up.
Someone here says go to the graveyard.
Yeah.
You, unless it's the worst storm of the winter, you're going to know exactly where the graveyard is. You're going to go there and you're going to find your way around because you'll literally walk in. I mean, they're huge. Some of the headstones are taller than me, right? Old school religious stuff. But down there wasn't at all. They were flat. So it didn't matter that we were looking at a graveyard. Look, we could have been looking at an empty field.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was wild that you've, and then when she said the tree and then we get there, there was more than one tree. I remember going, okay, it's not going to be that hard, but there were like,
it was total fluke.
There was a dozen trees it was hundreds of yards in every direction. So we went over to the closest tree and figured maybe, but it ended up being around that one. And I still don't know how you found it. Anyway, we dug it.
It was just like fortuitous. I just happened to be standing on something I'm kicking at that's really smooth.
It was the word earnest.
It's really smooth.
It was literally the word
and
earnest.
And when I looked down, I saw ST.
Yeah.
And I
was like,
and it sort of said, it can't be. And as I kicked more and more of it, I said, this is Hemingway standing on his grave.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
We were literally standing on it and I got those pictures somewhere. We shoveled it out and we
did. Well, I got them home. I got one on the wall to show almost, that I was there.
Yeah, I should almost, that's what
Instagram. With the Doc Holliday one in Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
If I was to say Instagram, do you know what that is?
Yeah.
What?
It's an app. I know that. I don't use it or anything.
Do you know what happens on it?
Not really.
Well, it's kind of like Facebook. I mean, you're kind of familiar with Facebook, right?
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Because mom uses it.
Yes.
Okay, so it's all you really do. But there's places on Facebook I can just put a picture up, right? I can just post a picture. I can put anything I want. I can put my feelings for that day.
Yeah.
Some people put what they're eating. I don't care. Yeah. Some shit that people put up doesn't make any sense, but because, I mean, who cares? But yeah, like, so I like to post albums and stuff like that. Well, Instagram is that. It's just pictures, really. Instagram, right?
Okay,
So if you see me going, okay, I got to put posts about the new episode, I'll put like a picture of whoever it is, put it up there today on Tales with TR, and then people see it, they like it, they comment on it, and it gets a bit of traction going about the latest podcast. That's kind of what Instagram
is.
Okay. So I should put those pictures up on Instagram. I think I've avoided a lot of the Boise stuff. I remember going out to the penitentiary.
Yeah.
That was wild too.
Well, that I remember where they hung. They had the actual, we saw the actual place where they hung the and now, cause I was picturing, geez, someone stood over this and got hung, but it was just left there. It was just falling down. No one, it was actually an historical site, but it was, they just let it go.
But remember the only prisons that I've ever been in. And I go to those, you go to the graveyards, I go to the prisons.
Yeah.
That it was Alcatraz, whereby
I would have loved that.
It's what I thought of a prison. Like you go in, it's like metal on metal.
I would have loved that.
You know, one little toilet hanging out of the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Senior, some of them I've been in, and you think you're at a country club.
For sure.
You wouldn't believe.
No, for
What prison exists?
For sure.
Well, Alcatraz and the Boise State Penitentiary. That was now.
Yeah. Boise State. That was pretty raw.
Remember that?
Whoa, that was pretty raw.
That was a fucking jail.
I could imagine people getting tortured in that one.
That was a jail.
Without a doubt. Yeah, right? I was like,
wow.
Yeah, it was like Wild Wild West.
Totally.
Judge Roy Bean stuff.
Yeah. Well, senior, that was actually, what else did we do on that trip? Oh, the Colorado Springs one you went out to see Doc Holliday.
Yeah, Colorado Springs. I went up to see Doc and the Buffalo Bill.
How about this? There's a guy, he's dead now, man, but he, what was his name? Senior?
Ed Smith.
No, no. There was a guy out in Colorado. Okay, so I went to Colorado.
That's who took me around. It was Ed Smith. He was from Long Island originally, and he was a journalist. He ended up in Colorado. I was a huge hockey fan, and he was the one who volunteered. I struck it off with him, and
he died tragically after. His name was Ed. And it wasn't Ed, man. It wasn't Ed Smith. It was.
I thought it was. But anyway, he was a great guy.
This is what happens. I went down there because people often ask me why I even did it. But I wanted to play out that year. I wanted to get traded from the Canadians. And they offered me a great deal in the minors. And I really only thought it would be a month or so. I mean, I ended up going to Hershey. I got, again, skated over my fucking arm. Look.
I know.
Remember that shit?
You were a man.
I got skated. If you look at it, man.
You were just a walking advertisement for injuries.
Yeah, it was wild. And I was doing well in Colorado. I had 30 games. I was playing with Craig Lyons and Zach Boyer, two like great line mates. People were looking at me. I had 30 games. I had 40 points, 160, 170 minutes. And now it's all the East Coast League. It was the West Coast. It used to be the West Coast League, the East Coast League, the Atlantic Coast League. Now they absorbed it all. There is a team there, senior in Colorado. Forget what they're called. And they also have an AHL team now in like Boulder or something.
Yes.
They really caught on. But it was a great spot. Because you were in the mountains and you were, we used to go over to Pueblo.
I loved it.
Which was like a Wild West kind of town. Like you were, people picture Colorado Springs as this big winter wonderland, but that's Pike's Peak. And we lived at the bottom of it, but it's like rock and desert, like just south. And
we drove out to the dam, the huge dam way outside of it.
Yeah. And the Pike's Peak in Colorado Springs is the highest in the continental. But
It was the center for NORAD in the mountain. They had built right into the mountain. You couldn't get close to it, but that was like intercontinental ballistic missiles all into the mountain.
It was. And
that was like, wow.
Do you remember like Pike's Peak? Like, but it wasn't like Aspen where it's always snowing. Like Colorado Springs was dry. It was like
gorgeous though. What a spot.
It was desert like in
one
some
of my
spots.
Nicest spots I've ever, because it was down. It was in the mountains,
There was a few reasons I chose, because I figured I was only going to.
And it was only about, I'm going to say 30, 40 minutes from Denver. It was just outside of Denver. Longer. Yeah, a little bit.
But a great drive.
And I went out to the Air Force Academy, which is just outside. Just outside of Denver. Went out to ride bulls and that? The Hall of Fame. Where that guy got killed for 8 seconds. His stuff was out there.
Senior, how about the
it was just too numerous. It was just
there's going to be less than 1% of the audience that know where I'm talking about right now when I say this spot. You're going to probably have heard in Colorado Springs, there's a big estate like golf course, country club.
Broadmoor.
The Broadmoor.
Yeah.
Okay. Now within the Broadmoor.
And also, Terry, ranked 8th in the United States. 8th.
Wow.
Yeah. And this, like a billion, all billionaires went there. I remember we went up there. It was unbelievable.
Few reasons, senior, I played there. First of all, it was a great spot. Second of all, I really thought, and I knew I didn't really have much to prove because I was kind of waiting. I ended up going to Dallas again, hurt myself. But, and it was a nice little, and there was no pressure down there. I ended up play home. I didn't have to be in the minors somewhere I didn't want to be. And it was, and I also know that I was training really hard, and it was the highest level. Like all the U.S. Olympic team were all training.
It's a center.
Well, because it's the highest.
Your arena. You came out of your arena, and you looked at U.S. athletic headquarters for
again,
the U.S.
Because
there.
It's the highest elevated. So with elevation, comes a much
mile high, right?
Greater capacity for cardiovascular, right? Yeah. So if I'm working out 2 hours in Colorado Springs, it's going to be more valuable than my 2 hours in St. John's. I know that sounds insane. I know it does, but it's true. So
because you're working against the elements too.
Yeah. So I figured, and you know, it was nice while we played. A lot of people think I mean like as far as visiting teams not catching up with us. I don't quite mean that, although that was something. I mean, I was training for a bigger purpose, and what better a place to do it? And I just loved it. It was just a wicked spot.
It was.
It was wicked for
so many
reasons.
One of the better places I've been to a few.
I've ever been.
It was just beautiful.
Let alone play.
I love mountains, and it was right in the mountains. That's what I loved.
And but remember, within the Broadmoor Senior, there was a bar called the Golden Bee.
Yeah, Golden Bee.
And they had the old Wild West piano.
And that guy went up playing on the piano, could play anything.
Can you remember?
And he'd give you a bunch of bees and they'd stick it to your shirt. I still got them home as souvenirs.
I got them. It's one of the best bars I've ever, because if you don't know what I mean with the, I don't know the name of the piano, but if you listen to Rocky Raccoon by the Beatles.
Yeah, that's what it was like. It was like going into old Dodge City, looking for Wyatt Earp. And that's exactly the best description. You know, tinkling.
What is that piano? It's just a piano, but
it's like ragtime, not quite ragtime. I don't know what they call it then, but, you know, it's a couple of boys who are whooping it up at the Malamute Saloon. The lady that's known as Lou, Robert W. Service.
Yeah.
How that boy could play.
Yeah. Robert W. Service.
Yeah, that's what he wrote. Well, you know, the shooting of Dan McGrew and the...
Was he the cremation of Sam McGee?
Yeah, he wrote all those.
Was he?
He wrote the most famous ones on the North. Yeah.
Ah, did he?
The Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the strangest I ever did see was at night on the marge of Lake LaBerge. I cremated Sam McGee.
Why is that in my... I don't know. I must have had a
very famous. Very famous.
Yeah, but I mean...
And he was a clerk from Toronto. I'd never been North. He was a clerk in a Toronto bank who had never been north, who took it all out of his imagination.
Wow.
Robert W. Service.
I did it in folklore. I knew it was in my head for some reason.
His famous one is called Songs of a Sourdough. A sourdough was a prospector, right?
You know what? I'm going to write that down. Just because, Senior, these
Songs
podcasts,
of a Sourdough.
Remember,
that's his collection.
So you kind of know when I say podcast now that you're on one, you understand what these are, right?
Yes.
Well, we listen to the sports ones, but there is... So I tapped into one the other day.
You could get Robert W. Service.
Classic poetry read aloud.
Oh, wow.
So I said, I'll give this a try.
Yeah.
But all I knew by Edgar Allan Poe was The Raven and Telltale Heart.
Okay, yeah.
So I honestly did it just to go, what is this going to be like?
Nevermore.
And I kind of like it.
Nevermore.
So now I'll tap into him. It got everybody, Senior. It's free. I'm going, man, can you imagine this shit?
I love Edgar Allan Poe. Yes, sir.
You used to have to pay for a university education to be able to. And now I can just.
And do the same thing.
I can
listen to it for a week and you can.
Yeah.
You'd write as on the paper as a guy who studied it all year.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
all for free right there.
Yeah.
I can listen to all his poems by noon today.
Yeah, I know. Fabulous. Yeah.
That's wild. That is it. Technology. I got my problems with a lot of it and I do make that vocal, but I will say that for things like that, it's really convenient. But then it goes back to my point, and I've often said it, Stephen Hawking, one of the last papers, I forget what it is, but Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about it. He's got a good podcast. And like the way Hawking described it in really, I'm butchering this.
Fundamental terms, as fundamental as he could get. Yeah.
Exactly. He said, well, first of all, back in the day, like to be able to go to Alexandria and be allowed into the library would have been the ultimate, ultimate honor that anybody could have possibly have. People, books, before technology.
It was a font of knowledge for the world. Yeah.
Just to be able to read and have books and have all that knowledge and everything. And then, you know, the Dark Ages happened, and in 1300, all of a sudden, the printing press comes, more people are getting educated, not everybody's booze and coffee comes into the mix.
1450, actually,
1450,
printing
1450,
press.
There you go. Gutenberg, yes, and Chaucer comes in, and then Shakespeare, and they're playing with language and everything. And so it was very, knowledge was so sought after, right? And we were getting smarter. That's, I guess, depending on its subjective, but, you know, in terms of the human race, and the things that we're capable of, we get smarter and smarter and smarter.
Well, knowledge was increasing exponentially.
Yes. Now, we have Alexandria and then more in our hand.
Yeah.
We can manipulate it. We can do whatever we want. And we're getting dumber. We're literally getting, we don't even know what we're voting for anymore. No, I don't want to get either side of the political. That's too much. But I'm saying a lot of people are uninformed. If you were just going around and ask people random questions, they don't know.
It makes no sense with all that knowledge. You know?
How do we?
At the click of a thumb, that's it. Yeah.
How do you not know where Arkansas is? Yeah,
that's ignorance.
How in the fuck do you not know that? I got no attachment to Arkansas. I'm just throwing that out there. I almost now sometimes even, I don't know, Senior, say I'm going to meet Jim Cuddy. He's my buddy, but that's a bad example. I guess maybe Classified is coming here maybe to do a show with Dolo.
Yes.
Classified the rapper. So before he comes over, I'll listen to all of his stuff. I know five songs. He's pretty good. I'll listen to all of it. I'll get informed, see where he's from. Go. you know, if I'm going on a trip to Rome, I would find it idiotic not to
find the places you got to see. Italy. Yeah.
And but people don't. It's almost a lot of people don't. And I just find it with all this knowledge right in our hand. And what was another thing? A part of the same paper was, again, this is according to Neil deGrasse Tyson, but you get what I'm talking about. Up until Einstein and then shortly after, we always knew the smartest people on Earth, whether you'd agreed or disagreed, whether it was Karl Marx, whether it was Genghis Khan.
The scientific community all agreed,
There's scientific, or it could have been
Newton or whatever.
It could have been Julius Caesar. It could have been a leader, a dictator.
Yeah.
But you knew, like, because Genghis Khan had philosophies. I mean, he would give people the option. If you joined his army, he'd take care of you. He would almost like insurance after you were dead, like kind of thing. Like he would take care of the family. So even that, right? They're philosophies, but we always knew those people, the philosophers, the people on Earth that were making a difference there. But now you have no fucking idea who helped with the coronavirus vaccine, for example. If you're not into that, if that's too political, say HPV. I don't know. Say AIDS. Say fucking AIDS. It was around. It killed you right off the bat. Now you take a pill. I don't know. You don't even hear about it anymore. So we have those capabilities, but you don't know who did it. I don't know who did it. But I know Kim Kardashian got a fucking fake ass, right? I know that she just put out a brand new line of perfume.
Yes. All the non-essentials, you know.
Yeah. And pop culture is great. And I mean, what are we on Earth for, right? To entertain ourselves, to live a good life and everything. But when it spills over into that, you know, all like it's overwhelming. Like I can, if most people on the street can tell you more Britney Spears songs than they can countries in the world. And that's real. A lot of people, a sizable portion of the population can name more Britney Spears songs than countries on the planet. That's me kind of saying it, but I truly believe that watching jaywalking and all the show, you know, remember that show Jay Leno used to have?
On the street.
But Buddy does it from the Daily Show. They do it, Colbert. Like
he was ahead of his time, and that's what it says about Jay Leno.
Yeah,
he was the first one.
And again, even there, you're talking one side of the fence. Dennis Leary does it. There you go. He's a Republican.
I haven't seen him recently.
But like you know what I mean? Like people go out there, but that's his big thing. It's like everybody's a fucking idiot. You don't even like there's no side to take because most people are ill-informed or they only care about their own country.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I'm going on, but you get the point. Senior, what do you think Alex Newhook's best attribute is? Someone asked me that the other day. I don't know. I think maybe skating, but growing up, it wasn't that.
The thing that jumps out at me is the speed. Yeah.
It would be speed.
He's got above average speed. He's like, that's why to me, that's why he went so high, because speed kills and speed can give you so many more opportunities and what have you. And the number one thing I'd see, good hands, good vision, whatever, but a really, really excellent speed.
You know, and when he was growing up, you see, he was so talented that, I mean, it was assumed that he was fast. I mean, he was always fast, but it was mesmerizing his moves. But now in the NHL, a lot of people get moves. I'm looking at him, and that's what I noticed too, is speed. But these questions I write, a lot of people write in and ask. So to me, speed. And that actually comes from Carl in Toronto. What was I going to say about that? With Alex. So we might as well talk about it with being Colorado. I mean, he might like, there's only two, Michael Ryder, Danny Carey. This might be another today as we're recording this, it's 3-1 for Colorado and they're playing again tonight. So he could be the third and he probably would be the youngest. Alex is only 21, I believe. But to talk about something relevant, did you see the game the other night? I'm mystified because I didn't want the headache, senior. I'm looking at the pictures of the people on the ice and I'm going, okay, that's blurry, but there's people over by the bench. And to me, there's all like, because what I'm referring to is John Cooper after the game, who usually has a level head. And he did. He came out and explained it. I'm glad he said, you know, I'm just not ready to talk about it right now.
He was frustrated. That's all.
But I get what he's saying, kind of. I mean, technically, there was an extra player, but That's why you change on the fly, no? Like, there was no one affected in the play. I would think the same thing happened 20 times with his own team just that game.
Yeah, well, I mean, didn't, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Tampa Bay win a controversial game by guy being definitely offside?
Well, they had seven.
But it had no impact on the play. Yeah. So I wouldn't call it either, you know?
Like, to me, I didn't even see the infraction. I'm looking at it going, okay, like, to me, I wait till the guy that I'm changing for is like, I mean, they say 10 feet, but sometimes 15 feet, sometimes 20 feet from the bench. If there's no one around,
it depends.
It never gets called.
It depends upon the ref, man, who's making the call. Everyone's different,
like,
right?
20 feet isn't that much. If the rule is 10 and people are moving in motion,
yeah,
how do you even tell? Like, to me, there was, if you're not hindering the play, I don't care. If I, I wouldn't even notice it. If I see three guys going to the bench and three guys coming on, the guys at the bench with their back to the play, what do I care? You have nothing to do with it. I mean, technically, okay, but I could say technically maybe the fucking defenseman's chin strap's undone. There's always something technically that could bring the goal back, you know? Like someone, you could call someone for illegal gear or might be a bad example, but you know what I mean? Like, to me, I don't know. If that, okay, I'll come at you like this. Let's just say technically it is a penalty. So defenders of Tampa Bay are saying there's four officials, okay? Now, are you fucking kidding me? If you're a linesman in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, game four overtime, you're going to take your whistle out and call too many men on that?
That's the whole thing.
That's never, ever going to happen.
So you only some guts.
For a linesman? If to me,
and you'll probably never ever officiate in the final again.
If a linesman makes that call, there better be fucking eight guys on the ice.
Yeah. It's part of the game. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Okay, good. I'm like, did I miss something? Because even hockey players are going, yeah, there's too many. I'm going, I don't know. I'm looking at it. I see nothing at all that I haven't seen 20 times a game from both teams. Senior, what's the deepest playoff run you ever went on?
Deepest playoff run? Well, I was in the minors. I went to the year it was in the International League. I was with the Islanders Farm Club in Muskegon. We had a really, really ended up first overall, most points, and we had a absolute moron for a coach. And we played Saginaw, which was LA Kings Farm Club. And their goaltender won a form. A guy named Mario Lassard went straight from Saginaw to the LA Kings for about 9 years. He was unreal. That was in the semifinals. We had him 3-1. And we managed, through his inept coaching, to lose the next three. They beat us, in the seventh game at home, 8-2. How does that happen?
He could be out here listening to this.
Well, I think he's dead now, but he was a total moron. And I'm thinking to myself, it was probably the best minor league team I ever played on. They were all solid minor leaguers, really good. And the team that won it, we didn't lose to them during the year, and we should never have lost. But it would have been the semis.
And by the way, earlier I said Dennis Leary. I meant to say Dennis Miller.
Yeah, I was going to say Dennis Leary. You can't get more Democrat than him.
No. I mean Dennis Miller, and he's really
Miller's really Republican. Yeah,
and he does that, and he's like, you know, let's understand what we're.
He's
voting
also
for.
Really smart. He's really smart.
Yeah, his message.
Him and Leary are like they look the opposite ends of the spectrum, but equally as smart.
Yeah, and
because Leary is smart too.
And Miller, you can sit down and have a and anyway, but his point is that he's like, I'm well read. They just ask him, he goes, a lot of this isn't because he's known for his long, sophisticated sentences. There's like on Saturday Night Live, they would use it as knee slappers. Like he was so intellectual, they used it as comedy. Yeah. But anyway, that's what I'm kind of talking about, right? His message is like, well, the reason I know these words is because I fucking read.
Yeah,
you know.
Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets, no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings Same Game Parlays, you could do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Who would you take? Now, you're going on a playoff run. Both these guys, I think, are ballsy. Both are right perimeter. Both might kill you, but they might help you. They might be the hero. They might be the goat. Do you take Kane or Kadri? Evander Kane or Nazem Kadri? Now, I know Kadri just did that, but Kane had a fucking great playoff, too.
He did. Kane is absolutely repulsive individual. I would find it extremely hard under any circumstances.
Yeah.
But Kane is a better player. Like, as a pure player, Kane is better. It's not that I'm singing Kadri's praises because he's put a few guys out too. If I was to take a pure player and look past that, I'd hold my nose, it would have to be Kane.
Yeah, you know. And if you were a GM making a sensible contract, it would be Kadri. I'm guessing if you said you'd be a if you were just
anyone who thinks that if you sign Evander Kane to a 5-year, $45 million contract, doesn't believe that the next day something scandalous is going to happen and you're locked into that contract, you're really a fool. Because this guy, not only should he be given 1-year contracts, he should be given the number of games he appears in.
But if he
appears, Kadri is not that bad.
Yeah, Kadri, I think, just plays with reckless abandon, and he plays dirty.
He plays dirty.
Yeah, he plays dirty.
It's just that Kane,
I don't know that he's a head case.
With all that talent, has got as much dedication to the game of hockey as that chipmunk that's running up the tree. Because all he wants is money. I guess all everyone wants is money. But people know that in order to get that money, they've got to either sacrifice or put numbers up. And he cares nothing about his teammates. It's all, well, enough said. A look at his past history. This is not a month. This is 3-4 teams. And he has, the only reason why he's a pure skill guy. I mean, he went like number 4 or something in his draft year. It's just that he was playing with Draisaitl and McDavid. So what are you going to say, Evander? When the fuck are you going to say to McDavid? Well, he says, get your fucking arse in gear. You get it in gear.
That's why I find it intriguing. If they settled him down, maybe they could. But you're right. I would never give him a multi-year. It's just like, do you see this fucking Kyrie Irving now? I mean, this guy.
Same thing.
Is he living in?
You know the latest?
I think he just does.
Stephen A.
They gave a list.
No.
Did you see the list?
No, this is worse. He's throwing Kevin Durant under the bus.
No.
Oh yeah, it's proven. Stephen A. said he's after phoning LeBron. Said you got to get me out here. You got to get me out here, LeBron. We can work it out again.
Durant.
Yeah, so he's thrown Durant under the bus. Durant fought for him to get him there, but he said he's denying it. But Stephen A. says, I know for a fact that he's called LeBron James at least twice to get me out there.
Now, and not only that, the people, he's so, to me.
I mean, you wouldn't put his name and Steph Curry in the same.
I don't know.
Not the same sentence in the same
people like
paragraph.
Like Stephen A. says, he's like the guy's box office. He is, but that doesn't matter. He finds a reason every year. I truly believe, like, if your convictions, if you really, really believe that you didn't want to get that fucking vaccine, that's not why he didn't. He just did it to miss time the year
without
before.
A doubt.
Personal time,
and he won.
Personal time,
but he won.
He won.
He won. He got his money,
and now he's going to get it again.
Why are you woke, Kyrie? Well, personal reasons. What are they? Well, I don't want to tell you.
Yeah,
oh, it's okay.
Stephen A. says he only wants to play less than 40 games.
It's the owner of the Nets, man. I know he's a billionaire, but he's made everyone look like fools.
How could you, with a straight face, Kevin Durant has done that. and played, and Durant plays, and he's played injured, and this guy's coming back whenever he wants, fucking chewing a toothpick.
Because Kyrie Irving tells Kevin Durant what to do. He tells him what to do.
You know what?
Kevin Durant is not a leader kind of guy. He's just not. Right. He says, Kyrie says, here's how we're going to do it. Kevin, okay, Kyrie. Yeah, he's not, right, he's not a, like, Curry is a leader. He plays bad and goes out and he sinks 40. Or,
yeah, I know.
You know, the guys around the league that are leaders. Kevin Durant, the physical specimen, but he's not a leader.
You know what's funny? I love, by the way, I loved this year in basketball because I really found that there was some comeuppance or some, like, it really felt like current, like, there's a lot of guys around the league like that. Like, Kyrie spurred, like how about that? Fuck, Jesus, Brooklyn got to deal with Ben Simmons, too. I forgot.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about him.
So what kind of management's there?
Yeah. But I like that these guys didn't get ahead. I do, because there's a chance they would have won.
Well, Simmons still got a $25 million. He's in court. Simmons, he sued him. He's in court.
Yeah.
So here they are with a player that's suing me for $25
million. That I didn't.
And they're still like kissing his ass.
And then in warmups, couldn't play the games, dunking in warmup. Yeah. I mean, and or the same thing with that. I think this guy's going to be a problem. He's not. What's the guy in New Orleans? What's the guy in New Orleans?
The Golden State. Oh, Zion Williamson. Going to be the same thing. Same thing.
He's playing around. They're like, well,
same thing.
Well, there's only 3 months left. He's going to sit. What do you mean there's only three?
Same thing.
There's 20 odd games. Well, there's no point for him to play now.
No, it's
but it's the point. Basketball, making money.
Basketball is gone off the charts.
Senior. And not only that.
In hockey, he wouldn't last. There would be guys in practice lining him up to fucking put him out on his own team.
Oh, definitely. You couldn't get away with
it. You couldn't get away with it. Not in a hockey culture.
Senior, this is what I love this year about the NBA, because even Boston, at least they're guys that go out and try hard, and they show up and they appreciate the fans.
Yes.
People, I would say this guy's Canadian. I don't talk about him much because it seems biased. But Wiggins, you know what I found out about Wiggins?
He was a big chunk, man.
The first 3 years he's there and people say he's bombing. You know what he did? He missed one fucking game.
Yeah, no
At least
question.
He's playing.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss games. These guys now, they think, like, to me, winning is part of it. But the other part is that, like, who's paying the salaries? You got to pay the games, right? Like,
no, but what about fans that are going? He's not playing tonight.
That's what I'm saying.
I paid $250 to get this ticket.
When people talk about it, they you often hear sports commentators and they'll say, well, you know, he needs this time and time management and all this shit. But okay, but we're just all assuming that the only goal is the championship, but only one team wins. Like, Colorado's going to win. That means Colorado or Tampa is going to win. One Colorado win for Alex. That means 31 teams earned. So there has to be another goal or else every team's going to be unsuccessful. The other goal is always money. So how do you generate that money and popularity? Through fans. So I don't want to hear this time. Like, time management to me isn't even, are you hurt or are you fucking not?
Absolute
because
bullshit.
If time management is a thing, then you got to look to the league and you're playing too many games.
The guy who's the most honest guy who says it like it is Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr, like, none of that bullshit with the Golden State Warriors because they all want to play.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is on another planet, but they got him controlled.
Yeah.
Curry got him controlled and he gives you everything.
I tell you, I got a new
respect
for him.
Draymond Green gives you everything. He'll eat the floor. That's what I want to see as a team. Now, he'll make bonehead decisions, but in the end, he's got four.
He's got four. And you know what?
Kevin got two.
Can you remember if there's one thing? There was a lot of things I liked about The Last Dance. Actually, I might watch it again. But I love that. I mean, if people now think Draymond Green, which he is a head case, you should have really... You have no idea when Rodman came into the Bulls how much of a fucking circus act that guy was.
Absolute.
He was a complete circus. And Jordan, like, to some degree, there was still some little, he went off the rails a little bit, but he played as a team
player.
Like
when he didn't show up for the game, went to Vegas for the weekend. Like you would, like you know. That. I got a lot of money and I got to spend it.
But he was a key
like
part
you would.
He was a key part of it. And I think,
yes.
I think had he played with Allen Iverson or someone like... I just played hard, if anything. I just thought he had a bad attitude. But there were players that I think if he'd gone there, you know, he was like that kid growing up that if he hangs out with the bad crowd, he's going to be a criminal. If he hangs out with... Rodman was right on that fence, and he wanted the limelight. So you had to really how are you going to give this guy the limelight he needs on the same team with the best athlete, arguably, of fucking decades? And it worked.
Well, Phil Jackson was brilliant at handling them too.
Phil Jackson was.
He knew he was an intelligence, you know, and he never got excited, but what he said went. And they knew how far they could go. And see, if you don't, Dennis, you're not playing.
If you weren't here, I wouldn't have said that. That's the biggest point of all of it. It was more Jackson than anything.
No question.
Fuck, he had to keep.
Michael
Jordan had an ego.
Coach them.
They all had egos. And then you got to deal with Pippen and the rest of it. Anyway, yes. if for those who haven't seen it, and there are lots, I refer to it a lot, and people say, what do you mean? I thought it was the most popular thing on the planet, but I guess not. But The Last Dance came out a couple of years ago, Netflix.
Yeah, fabulous.
And by the way, Senior, did you see Peaky Blinders is out now?
I'm on the last one now.
Okay, don't tell me. I just started.
No, it's like there's a couple of things that are going to...
blow me away.
That are going to be surprising, yeah.
Did you ever play video games or pinball?
Pinball growing up, yeah. Not video games. We didn't really have it. But pinball, yeah, lots of pinball.
Was it? Yeah. I wondered because I said, what?
Yeah, no, lots of pinball.
Someone asked me again, like, what I did for fun back when.
I can't remember having video games. No, I don't think they existed.
I don't think. I think that came in with me.
Well, pinball for sure. But... every little corner store had a couple of pinball machines.
Who's your favorite female actor ever?
Actor, actress.
Well, I think it's all actor now.
All actor, yeah.
Everybody's a fan. Anything that's like no
ever. My hottest one that I was hot was Susan Sarandon in her heyday.
Really?
Yeah, I thought she was so hot.
Really? Oh my God! I don't picture her like that.
Oh wow, she was gorgeous.
Susan Sarandon.
The best, probably.
Mine would be Elizabeth Hurley and Austin Powers. But go ahead.
Probably. I really got to think about that. Well, you know, it's hard to deny Meryl Streep. It just hard.
I don't see anybody close, but I didn't see Betty Davis and all that shit back in the day. You know.
Well,
I didn't see Greta Garbo. I don't know who.
Well, Betty Davis, obviously, you know.
But I didn't see the movies. I watched the main
Catherine
movies.
Catherine Hepburn.
I don't know if I'm. Okay. So I saw her. Is she in The Apartment?
The Apartment.
With.
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, is it?
Yeah, no, I think that's Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
She was a great actress too.
I watched the old ones and like who's in Casablanca? I watched that because I said I want to see Humphrey Bogart, but it's a big actress.
I just forget who the actresses
are.
Greta Garbo.
That's Greta Garbo.
Yeah, it's Greta Garbo, nearly 100% there.
I don't know why. It's just I hear about these guys and I want to kind of see what they, I guess, like I'm a guy and I'm an actor. So that's what I've done. I'm going back.
Yeah.
Not to be like a better thespian, but it is kind of cool to see getting off topic. But a lot of people on the list of all time movies would be Citizen Kane. And I often say it to people. So I remember like in the 90s going, okay, and I got it. It was okay. But I was like, this is no better than, I don't know, at the time, Die Hard with a Vengeance or some shit. But the thing is, the way it's shot and everything.
Yeah,
and
it's what he brought. He invented like the.
Yeah.
Citizen Kane.
I know that.
What they did following him, they all did what he did.
Like the 2 and 3 camera set up.
the angle shots coming up at the face.
And
all that. It was genius.
The best way I can, even though this movie came 20 years later, movies used to be like. If you watch 12 Angry Men, it's like one room and then
one
room,
yeah.
Then another room.
And it's great
almost
movie
like
too.
A great movie.
Just acting, pure acting.
Yeah. Like the movies used to be even like Maltese Falcon. That's one of my favorite old ones.
Yeah.
But it's like set. It's almost like a play, right? They're there. And,
yeah.
Cause it's one camera.
It is. And you can see the set.
They walk in
where your business is on. You can see the sets
now. So now when I watch Citizen Kane after watching like Charlie Chaplin, say Modern Times or Maltese Falcon, because this is, I'm going, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's almost like if we preach the Beatles a lot. I tell people, like some Beatles fans say, listen to Sgt. Pepper or say Abbey Road. Or I'd say listen to them after you listen to everything else at that time. Listen to 10 songs from 1965 and then listen to Sgt. Pepper. And you'll see how, oh, my, fuck, this is crazy good, right?
Yeah.
But if you just compare, I mean, I could say that with a lot of things, but. I often like to do that, even with art. You're looking at it or listening to whatever type of art it would be. even if it comes to a podcast, even Foster Hewitt. I listened to some Foster Hewitt broadcasts.
Yeah.
Now I get it. He was one of the first. He would call the game.
Like, he did.
And by the way, now history. I know where Bob Cole gets it. Bob Cole talks about Foster Hewitt. Man, are there similarities.
Yeah.
Man, are there similarities. I didn't.
He idolized him. So it stands a reason that something's going
to
rub off.
And if you listen to other people at the time, it's almost like it's a commercial. Like if you listen to, I listen to the old 50s radio shows and 40s radio shows, and there might be like, as soon as it goes to commercial, it's the commercial. It's the Brian Rogers broadcast voice. You know, the if you want to shave, get Gillette. Gillette, the best a man can get. And it's this put-on thing. But Hewitt's into it. And he's giving you the play-by-play. And he's totally into the game. And he's up and he's down. And he's telling you about some of the players and where they came from. And this is why this guy's good. It's gripping. And I often put it on at night and just throw it on in the background. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
That's why Foster just, Hewitt.
You're going right back in time.
Yeah.
Just like the Green Hornet.
I never did. Was that his thing?
No, who knows? The Shadow knows. I shouldn't say Green Hornet.
The Shadow is one of those detective shows that I'm listening to.
Of course,
to.
But that was his famous line. Who knows? The Shadow knows.
Yeah, the Green Hornet is a superhero, right?
Just like there are 8 million stories in the Naked City, this has been one of them. That was a really big show. When I was growing up in the 50s, early 60s, Naked City, it was called. And it was a cop show.
Do you know what I'm into now? I'm finding this really funny. You would never see it now, but have you ever heard of The Adventures of Johnny Dollar?
No.
Okay, so Johnny Dollar is an insurance detective, and he's working for an insurance company.
Is this comedy?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's like 1940.
Okay, so there are people getting murdered and all that.
I'll tell you why. Now, people without some kind of explanation here, you probably think I'm nuts, but when I was in folklore, I took one course, and it focused on an area that I never think of. And I mean, you came right after it, but in 1920s, radio starts being a thing, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like Charlie Chaplin, those silent movies happened, but you had to like go to the movies to see that. It wasn't at home. Like that didn't happen until the 80s, VCRs and stuff, like on demand. That shit didn't happen for a long time, right? Even for us, like if we didn't catch, I don't know, Cheers on TV, you couldn't see it till the next week. But anyway, for that time, so radio starts being a thing. Now there's something else to do other than read and, you know, go out to the pictures or whatever. So people are at home having their supper and they're gathering around and they're listening to, like the Maltese Falcon was Sam Spade, but that was based on The Adventures of Sam Spade, right?
Yes.
Brought to you by Gillette.
Yeah.
And everybody at 7 p.m. every night used to, and then it was gather around and listen as a family.
Yes.
And that's where like people in Canada explained that like it was only Hockey Night in Canada, but that was every radio show. Hockey Night in Canada, because that was famous and people talk about gathering around the radio, you know, but they did that for all those shows. Like it was like TV was the radio. That was the medium. So then in the 50s, and especially 60s, TVs start to come into every household. Now it goes Technicolor. And all of a sudden, those shows were forgotten about, much like the Beatles knocked off, not quite Sinatra, but definitely made them take a back seat. And everybody, Sinatra, Nat King Cole, that music survived. But every other crooner in small town America.
Eddie Fisher, gone.
Gone. All
Johnny
gone.
Mathis, gone. All
so
gone.
These shows aren't going to go on anymore. But they're about 20 to 25 years. And it's really interesting because all the advert, like if you hear, you might hear Madison Square Garden have an advertisement that the Rangers are playing the Canadians in the middle of Johnny Dollar because there was nowhere, like it was like watching the Super Bowl.
Well, I was watching one the other day. I said, my God, cigarettes. They were advertising the benefits of cigarettes. And I said, oh my God.
Is that the old YouTube
commercial?
But people
didn't know. And they were, you know, the guy, the handsome looking guy, take it in. That's right. That menthol, the benefits of smoking. And
senior,
people didn't know, just killing themselves, right? Didn't know. We didn't know.
Yeah, it's great. Was that the, or here's Johnny Dollar. Look. 1949.
Okay.
January, my birthday.
Casting system presents yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yeah, it's going back in time, man. I love it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had the all.
Right. Now, the Robert W. Perry case.
has its baggage packed to take a trip with America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, he is just an expert. At making out his expense account, he is an absolute genius.
Right, and now I can go up.
Is his name spelled D-O-L-L-A-R?
Yeah.
Oh, so Johnny Dollar.
Insurance Johnny Dollar. Dollar, the insurance investigator.
Right, yeah.
He goes in working, and people are, you know, it's all people that are trying to rip off.
So it's strange that I've never heard that, but he must have been big for it to be Network. I've never heard that name ever.
Yeah.
Never read it, never heard it.
Yeah, and then that's kind of why I searched it, because I said it's almost like going to another planet. It's
Sam Spade, of course. Of course, the Man of Steel.
I can go to information, right? And it'll bring up all the information. So, yes, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is a radio drama that aired on CBS from 49 to 1962.
That 13 years.
Yeah, there were 809 episodes in the 12-year run, and more than 710 exist today.
Wow.
Right? Format.
Can't believe I
history.
Haven't.
Ever. Actors who played him: Dick Powell, Charles Russell, Ed O'Brien, John Lund,
yeah,
Gerald Moore.
Recognized a lot of them,
right? And so these all. So that's that. Now I can go on to this one. See genres. So I can go adventure. Like I can go here, senior, to adventure. And Superman comes up.
Oh yeah.
See this, 1939.
For sure. Yeah.
The original Superman.
That's when it came out in 39, was it? I knew it was the 30s.
Is it a bird or is it a plane?
Right, so that was the first, and not only that, the reason we did it, senior, in folklore, I know this is going on, but it's half interesting. Because we studied War of the Worlds, and that's on there too. Because War of the Worlds, 1933, and they put it on here.
H.G. Wells,
and people started fleeing New York City because they thought.
Well, Orson Welles did it, but it was H.G. Wells wrote War of the Worlds. Mm. He just went pop, and riots caused riots. People thought they were, actually thought it.
People thought in New York, thought that aliens were invading, and people were trying, like the bridges were jammed, traffic.
Yes.
Anyway, those for those that are into it, honestly, that is a gift. I just played that. It's called Old Time Radio. It gives every single one of those. And again, if I didn't take folklore, I wouldn't have thought about it, but it is a very interesting time. And you got to remember that these advertising companies, there was no TV. So you're going to hear some wacky ads. You're right, senior, pushing smokes. It's a different time.
That's right. Taste that smokes that goes down your throat. The benefits.
I just, doctors agree.
If it wasn't so tragic, I'd howl. But uneducated people didn't know. Tobacco companies probably knew then. Probably knew then. They weren't going to say anything. But That is the worst I've heard.
Yeah.
Here, enjoy this cigarette.
Yeah.
That's right. That nice, calm. I mean, I
that
can't
cool
believe it.
Feeling.
That cool
down.
Feeling. Yeah. Yes.
There's one on YouTube. I go to the retro commercials and watch them. And there's one that's like from way back.
Oh yeah.
Like the 50s, and it's appealing to kids. It's like, hey, kids, try us. Try a Camel. I don't know if it's Camel now, but it's something.
Trying to get a yeah.
Well, Camel were big for
and nothing was done.
They had the Joe Camel.
Well, Joe Camel was the worst. They ended up doing away with them because the psychologists and everyone, and they were literally kids knew Joe Camel. More kids knew who Joe Camel was than the President of the United States.
Yeah.
But they knew Joe Camel.
That's well, you know what? That's full circle because that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Senior, in the year you were in the WHA, 72, 73, did you come across, like what players that were mesmerizing? Anybody?
Well,
I mean,
Hull really wasn't mesmerizing. Hull was just so powerful.
Bad word, but yeah.
Mesmerizing would be, to be mesmerized, I could put a guy like my favorite player of all time. I only played one year, I'd say, in junior Canadians. But he left the junior Canadians. The next year, he was rookie of the year and scoring 40 for the Buffalo Sabres. Now, how in the fuck was I supposed to stop Joe Perreault? He becomes rookie of the year the next year and scores 40 in the NHL. But he was mesmerizing.
Yeah, there you go. That's true.
So many moves. Hull was just pure power. It was just get it and go. And he was such a great skater. And then he wound up with that shot. But Perreault was dancing on his skates and the head was going in the hands. That's mesmerizing.
Good answer. Favorite Boston Red Sox ever?
Well, I'm a Yankee fan, so I'd hate the Red Sox.
That's why I asked.
I give the devil his due. I would say Yastrzemski. He did win the Triple Crown. He was a great player. And yeah.
And what do you think of the Yanks this year, man? What do you think? They got 52 wins already.
I know, but like it's still things can happen, right?
Baseball, things can happen.
Like I'm still waiting for Judge and Stanton to go down with broken legs. I can't help it. I'm not sold on them. And Judge is having a year of years. But these guys have been hurt so often. I'm waiting for like, oh, yeah, he's gone for 20 games.
What do you do, though, if he doesn't? Do you pay him? Because he's going to command.
You're going to have to.
How would you not?
You're going to have to. You're going to have to. They're not going to sign him to it. He's 30 years old. He's hitting it late, right?
I know, but
well, you're going to have to sign him.
That's what the market says, unfortunately.
Well, you're going to have to sign him to a five-year.
Yeah, $400 million deal.
No, not $400 million. $80 million a year.
No, but okay.
Trout's making 36. He's the highest paid.
Sorry.
You're going to have to give him 40.
No, I did the math wrong. I'm saying he's going to get 30 to 35 million.
Oh, that's a slam dunk.
Well, on the other
if he completes the year like that he's having and doesn't go down again,
35 at the beginning, right?
He wanted Trout money.
He wanted Trout money. And what's Trout at 36?
I love me Yankee and I love Aaron Judge.
He's not worth Trout.
As good as Trout.
No, but what I'm saying is that the market gets driven up and someone gives
it does, and you're caught in the middle of a contract. Yeah, I agree. But like,
what's Harper got?
Harper got less than Trout,
slightly,
but not much.
And how's he doing?
He got like a 9-year contract. Harper's having another dynamite year.
Yeah.
Looks like he's overcome his injuries and he's at maybe 34. He's right up there. Top three, top four.
I think that's about it. I got to tell you know what, senior, Penny Lane got soccer and we got to leave in about an hour and she has to do an audition. So listen, everybody, thanks a lot for tuning in. Check out Wedgwood Cafe there on Elizabeth Avenue for your catering needs and also drop in. It's a great spot. Peter Wedgwood's a great guy. Penny Posh Designs, Women's Wear Reimagined. If you want a hoodie or coveralls or anything, send me a note at terryryan2020@gmail.com. Same thing. If you want a book or you want to, like I said, I'm going to Rapid City. I'm going to Austin.
And I tell you guys, those two books that Terry wrote, I know he's my son. I'm his harshest critic. They're really, really, he can write and they're very good books. They're interesting books.
There, senior, that's full circle.
Yeah.
I only did because you forced me to read.
That's it.
Basically.
That's it.
I shouldn't, but you basically,
you know,
there's always a million
books. You know what Churchill said? Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is
power. And how true it is. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. We shall leave it there. Thank you to DraftKings. Thank you to all my sponsors. True Hockey. Check it out. We'll be in Buffalo at the Chicklets Cup July 21st to the 23rd. I'll be wearing my True Hockey gear. I can't wait for that. Thanks to the team at True and Corey Gregory. And if you're downtown, check out TJ's, Green Sleeves, Trinity Pub, Bull and Barrel, and Rob Roy. That's where I like to have my beers. And if I'm going for a meal, I go to the Merchant Tavern or I go to Blue on Water. Why not? Ryan Vandenbush, thanks for visiting last week. Jordan Nolan, thanks for popping on the podcast. And senior, thanks a lot today for being my guest.
Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
This has been 108.
Got to go and put the presents next to the wall with care, with hopes that St. Nicholas will soon be there.
This has been episode 108. Thank you very much. We'll see you in a few days with Jason Strudwick. Be good to each other. Catch you on the rebound. See you soon.